Huh? Okay, so we're going to talk about living with God, and this is a very solid text, like all the scripture, but in the context of what we've been listening to in Thessalonians, where Paul talks again about the wickedness that's going to rise up in the world, and it's going to get worse as time goes on. I just finished a series on the book of Revelation on Sunday morning, which also talked about all the things that rise up. It's government stuff, it's false messages, it's decay within the church where people are falling away from the truth and casting it aside. And we've seen a lot of that in my lifetime, just a degrading culture, a society that is turning more and more confused and lost when it comes to truth. I mentioned a couple times ago, you know, it starts with kicking God out of the schools, no prayer, no Bibles, you can't mention God in classrooms. It got into abortion, you know, we moved towards killing millions of babies. And then it is now, you know, kind of getting, we're confused about what marriage is. We're confused about, you know, not us, but our culture is confused about marriage, and a lot of young people aren't getting married because they think that that's the norm now. And then you have, you know, more lately, the real sad thing about kids not being sure of their gender. I got news for you. It used to be a very simple test to know what your gender is. Now, oh no, you can't label somebody that. And that's, our culture is moving down this slippery slope of wickedness and sin, and that's a very sad thing for us. But we need to live with God in that circumstance. And that's what Paul is talking about in chapter 3. He's talking about, okay, now since the world's such a mess and since there's all this trouble going on, what do we do? How do we live? And the first thing he asks is for people to pray for him. He says, finally, brothers, pray for us. And the us is Timothy, Silas, and Paul, who were the people that planted the church at Thessalonica and were still moving around planting churches and preaching the gospel. So they say, pray for us. And this is something, you know, I hope you guys pray for me, because this is not easy. You know, and I can preach fairly well as long as God helps me. And it's not just something that, you know, you automatically do. It really has to do with the power of Christ, the power of God moving, and often it's within the congregation as well, to be able to hear the message, to be able to share the message. And so he's praying, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly. This has been a real concern in the last 5 months, and I've really enjoyed some of the folks that have been bringing in people. You know, we've had people come in that don't know the Lord, and that's exciting to me. Even when we only had like 15 people, one of them would be someone that someone brought in to hear the message of Christ. And I said, yeah, you know, we always want to continue to have the message spread. That's what God called us to. Jesus' last words in the Gospel of Matthew was, go make disciples. You know, teach them the word. Teach them to obey the commands of Christ, right? So he said, you know, pray that the message continues to go out. Here we are 2,000 years after Paul, and I beg you, pray that the word of God still goes out. Pray that it will be honored, and I like this word. It's translated honored, but it's the same word that is used to declare glory. All right, to be glorified or glorious. And I think about that. Where is the glory of the Word of God? The Word of God going out, being preached, yeah, that's cool. But when somebody receives the Word of God in their heart and their life gets changed and they're able to, you know, stand up and be a new person in Christ Jesus, that's glorious. That gives glory to God. That gives glory to the idea of Jesus' death and resurrection meaning something and being something that's powerful and able to change. So he's saying, you know, folks, pray that the word spreads. Pray that the word is glorious. And that has to do, you know. And then he asks, as we've talked about the wickedness that's in the world, And there's a lot of wickedness. We see it. You turn on a TV. I try not to watch too much news. I do watch some, but I don't. I try not to watch because it's just, so much bad stuff. Internet stuff. Same thing. Wherever you look for information, you're going to hear a lot of bad messages and bad things. But they're coming from bad people. And unfortunately, there are a lot of bad people in the world. There are a lot more people who don't believe in Jesus Christ, don't believe in God, don't walk with God than there are those who do. And so he says, and pray that we may be delivered from the wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. And that is something, I think about this, the idea that Paul, he was put in prisons, he was beaten, he was stoned and left for dead. He faced a lot of wickedness from people that were opposed, not just to him, but to the gospel that he was preaching. And he's saying, pray that God will deliver us. Now, why would he ask that? Why would he ask them to pray that God would deliver him? Because he knew God was able to deliver him. That's why when he's in the Philippian jail with Silas and the chains are on, the doors are locked, and they're just praising God because they knew God could deliver them. They knew God was going to keep them and keep them on their mission. And, of course, the jail doors opened, the chains fell off, and they got to save the jailer, right? God is able to deliver his people. He's able to keep us safe. And I think about this more in terms, because this little section's about ministry. I think more in terms of the ministry continuing, the ministry not dying. I think of so many churches that are struggling right now because they don't have people going out. They don't have people, getting involved in service. And we had, a really nice Friday night. And I thank God for everyone. We have several helpers that come and they make that work. And God bless us, right? God bless us for being God's instruments in the lives of people who really need it. The young people, I'm so concerned. We'll talk about them in a minute. But I'm so concerned about them. They don't have school. They don't have, a lot of them don't have structured homes. They, kids are being allowed to do all kinds of, bad behaviors. Not necessarily morally, but just they're just doing what they want to do all the time. That's not good. That's not good for anybody, right? So then he turns away from ministry of the ministers and such to the people. And this is where I want to spend most of my time today. But the Lord is faithful. Again, the Lord is faithful. The Lord is able to be with his people, to strengthen us and make us be what he wants us to be, no matter what goes on around us. You understand that? That the world, yes, the world is, a lot of non-Christian behavior. The world is got a lot of problems of wickedness. I mean, I've lived in the neighborhood for 30 years, and I've seen so many different things that go on. But I know one thing, in 30 years, what have I learned? The Lord is faithful. The Lord watches over us. The Lord keeps us. He provides what we need, and when we don't need it, he might take it away. But that's all right, because he's faithful. He's taking care of us. He's looking over at us. And he says that the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Now that means, again, all this stuff about the end times that we've been talking about, and it's there, it's real, it's out there. And in the name of Jesus, there is power to be strengthened. The word strength means to cause someone to become stronger in the sense of more firm and unchanging in attitude and belief. You hear that? In other words, it's not just about physical strength, of course. It's about spiritual strength and becoming firm. I know what I believe. I know whom I believe in and what I trust in as far as the Word of God and the promises of God. I had a conversation with a young unbelieving, called himself an atheist, last summer, and we were out on the boat, and we're talking, and he kept asking questions. And he told his dad later, he said, I really think the problem with that guy is he's just so certain of everything that he says. Like I'm supposed to be, well, I don't know. No, I do know, because the Word of God teaches us and the Word tells us. So, and you become more and more firm in what you understand about God, what you understand that he's going to do. And then the second word is to guard. I love that word. It literally would be of a person standing over someone, guarding them. God is guarding you. He talks about sometimes angels being our protector, you know, protecting little children. He says the angels of the little children are always in the presence of the Lord, right? There is protection that God gives his people. I lived here all these years, right? I know that God is a good shepherd. And even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I don't need to fear evil. I remember one night I was walking in a dark alley down our back streets. And, you know, this is not maybe the safest behavior in Detroit. And it was late at night, and I was going down a dark alley, and I said, you know, I started to like think bad things, and then I just quoted that psalm, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. And he said, even though I walk through the valley of shadow, and it actually is the shadowy darkness of death, is the way that you could translate it. Even though I'm in a dark, scary place, I'm not afraid. Why? Because my God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. The staff is where, you know, why was I in Detroit? Because God told me to be in Detroit. What if something bad came out? God's got the rod to knock him in the head, right? His rod and his staff, they comfort me. God is able to guard us. God is able to protect us. Look, my wife, Barbie, we raised our kids in Detroit, and in these 30 years, we've seen a lot of stuff. I've seen people shoot drugs right outside the church. The building that we now call our cafe, it used to have graffiti, Satan is alive, when I first got here. We used to see houses burn all the time, right? It was a common occurrence. I remember we were doing, we called it Kids Club at the time, and step out on the front porch, and the whole across the freeway was ablaze, just things burning. I think they burned a factory that day. Seeing, you know, gangs. There were a couple of people murdered within a block of our house, right? We saw these things. Kids were afraid to walk home from school because they'd get jumped by gangs. Violence and that kind of stuff going on. But you know what? God protected me. And God protected my wife. And God protected our children. I had a pastor tell me, he came down here and he just saw where we were. And he said, you know, I couldn't do this to my family. You know what? I couldn't do it to my family except if God was with us. So the whole neighborhood can be bad. The whole world can be evil. But in our house, we worship the Lord. In our house, we studied the Word. In our house, we prayed to God. In our house, we believe that there's a God who strengthens and there's a God who guards. We believed in God the entire time, and we rose our kids up in this church, and they, I think, came out pretty well. I think God did a very good job. What I'm saying to us is, you know, we look at the world and we see how bad it is, but folks, God is still God, and he's still with us, and he still will strengthen us, and he still will guard us. He will protect us. He will protect us. The worst thing that can happen to us is if we become too afraid to do anything because the world is evil, or we begin to try to strategize how we're going to protect ourselves and somehow break the will of God. I knew God called me to be here. I've told you that many times. But I knew God called me to be here. And that's why when this stuff started, I wasn't going to leave. I've been here. Why? Just because God called me to be here. And I figure anybody that came, God would want them to come. And anybody that stayed home, that's, you know, God's probably leading them to do that. But I'm doing what God told me to do because I believe that God can guard and protect and keep us no matter what's going on in the world. I think that's a very important way to think about the rise of Antichrist powers and the rise of secular humanism and all the different things we've talked about through, you know, what's in the book of Revelation and what's in the book of 2 Thessalonians. But we have to understand that it is God who watches over us. It's God that keeps us. We have confidence. I love this word. We have confidence. Now, the word confidence is in, we talk about the perfect tense. What does that mean? It's where you stand now based on what happened in the past. Why am I confident in the Lord? I could go through, and I pray you could go through, and you could start listing off things that God has done for you in the past, how he's watched over you, how he's cared for you, how he's protected you, how he's provided for you, right? And so many other things, how he's nurtured you spiritually and physically, you know, the good shepherd. And that's where we stand. I stand in confidence of God, not my own self, but God. God will see us through. God will carry us. God will watch over us and keep us. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. So we have confidence. I have confidence that we who hear the word of God and apply it into our lives, that we can stay in the word of God and keep that truth with us always and walk with God in confidence that we will not only have done it. See, Christianity is not a past tense thing, is it? What I did yesterday, Paul said, what I did yesterday doesn't matter. It's what I'm doing right now. It's where I am today. You know, Christianity is not something that you did when you were 7 and then you just kind of muddle through life. Christianity is something that you are doing constantly, constantly doing, constantly walking, constantly learning, constantly growing, constantly calling on God for help, right? And that's what he said. He said, you know, Paul was confident that that church who heard the word and was practicing the word would continue to hear and practice the word of God. Nothing else matters. Going to a church and singing, that's a good thing. You know, if it's spiritual worship, hearing the word or going through a religious service, that can be a good thing, as long as it does something in your heart. As long as it makes you grow, as long as it leads you closer and closer to God, as long as it challenges you where you're weak in sin, as long as it challenges you to become more and more God's person, that's what real church is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about us becoming God's children, God's people. That's not an easy task. It's a glorious task that's done through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, the truth of the word, and all that God gives to us. But it's not something I say, oh, I'm done. I did that. You know, it's not a box you tick off on your to-do list. I went to church. I'm okay. You know, it's a dynamic relationship with God working in us and through us. And that's what Paul says, I'm confident. Why? He's not necessarily confident in them. He's confident that God's going to keep them going, that God's going to keep, you know, showing them the way and teaching them and leading them. And praise God for his patience for us. When we mess up, right? When we mess up, God is still going to lead us the next day. He's still going to pick us up, and he's going to still help us to grow and grow. Say, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. May God guide us to God's love. There's a real, again, you know, why are we concerned about the young people in the neighborhood? Because I don't know any other place in the neighborhood other than maybe another church where God's love is present. Out there, there's all kinds of bad stuff that's out there. There's all kinds of bad ideas. There's all kinds of manipulative people. There's a lot of behaviors that destroy lives that are being encouraged by the culture, right? You only find God's love where God's people are. And when the kids aren't around, I get very concerned for them. I get very concerned, you know, who are they listening to? Who are they following? What's getting in their heart? What's getting in their mind? And I say the same for you, you know. I thank God for everyone that touches base with me and lets me know, hey, I'm struggling with this, or I need prayer for this, just so we know how to pray, so we know how to, you know, help you spiritually find your way with God. So God will direct us towards God's love and Christ's perseverance. The word hupomone means to overcome. His perseverance. Jesus told the disciples, he said, in this world you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble in this world. But don't be afraid, because I have overcome the world. And everybody in the book of Revelation who is a success in God's eyes, they overcame the world. The world wasn't good. The world wasn't right. The world wasn't pleased with them. But God was pleased with them, and they held on to the name of Christ. They held on to the testimony of Christ. They held on to the truth of God, and they endured whatever was sent their way. And the glory of that is they enter the kingdom of heaven forever. That's where we are, right? Now, the next bit, I'm going to kind of breeze through a little. But this is where, again, I'm concerned about people, and I'm concerned about young people, children. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle. And that could be like lazy. It can be someone who's just not taking care of what they should be taking care of and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. So Paul is talking about someone who is lazy not being Christian. That laziness equals non-Christian behavior. And that's what he, and he talks about that quite extensively here. But I think about, you know, where would the kids be going in a month in a normal time? They'd be going to school. They would have some structure in their lives. They would have books to read. They would have classes to take. And they're being told, no, you're going to stay at home. And they've been staying at home for months. And I know some of them don't go out. They stay up all night playing their video games. And they don't sleep right. They don't go out when they have an opportunity to go out. They just stay in their bed and stay in their... That is very bad behavior. That's not Christian behavior. There's a John Owen, who is one of my favorite Puritan writers. He's talked about the end of the age and the trouble that rises and to the church. He wrote a little thing, up and be doing. In other words, get to work, church. Be at work. Keep busy. Keep sharing the word. Keep active. And I think about the hardest thing for me in this period has been keeping myself busy, not just doing nonsense things, but keeping myself busy so that I don't end up doing some finding bad behaviors, allowing sin to creep into my life, right? I'm like, well, what's my next project? What's the next thing I'm going to do? Paul warns about laziness, and here he says, if you've got a brother that's not working, and you know, he goes on to say, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And he also says, the other thing he says is that he set an example for the church. If you read that little paragraph there, if you got your Bible, I'll put it up here. But he said, basically, we set an example. We didn't eat what we didn't pay for. We worked, you know, he did a job, plus he did ministry so that he could provide for himself because he wanted to set an example for people how to live their lives as a Christian. And we know that there's supposed to be balance in our life, right? We're supposed to have times of rest. The Sabbath day was something God ordained. We talked about that in 1 Thessalonians. There's a time for rest. There's a time for worship. There's a time to focus on God. That's what Sabbath is. And you can have it anywhere, anytime. But Sabbath is important. But work is also important. Working with our hands, keeping busy so that we don't end up just kind of being useless to people around us. Keeping busy, working with our hands, working with our minds, doing something to keep us out of trouble, right? So Paul warns about that, and there's the last line, you know, if a man will not work, he shouldn't eat. So, yeah, and he warns again, he says, you know, there are people that, you know. And then this is the last thing, and this is more back to my better points. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. Never get tired of doing what is right. Never get tired of being compassionate to people. Never get tired of doing service for the Lord. Never get tired of taking care of your family the way you ought to, or being a good son or a daughter. Never get tired of doing what is right. Never get tired of listening to God's word and putting it into practice, obeying God. Never get tired of that. And then he says, if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him. Now, I like that sentence because it basically reminds us that Paul thought that this letter was equal to Scripture. He says, you pay attention to this letter that I just wrote you. And if someone doesn't, notice them and mark them. Something's wrong, right? We believe in the Word of God. We believe that we need this. We need to have the Word constantly being refreshed in our mind. And we need to actually help each other to basically walk with God the way we should. So the main thing I wanted you to walk away with today is, because we've talked a lot about the rise of wickedness and the evil that's in the world, that Paul tells us, pray for the word to spread, pray for the glory of Christ to come through it, pray for a protection for the church, the community, right? And trust God in everything, that God can protect you. He can protect your family. He can protect your home. He can protect you in a million different ways. Sometimes you don't even know how God is protecting you till much later you look back and say, wow, look what God brought us through. Look what God did for us. We have to trust that no matter what goes on, no matter how things progress in the world, God is still God. and he still possesses the power to strengthen us and to guide us and to keep us and to guard us. Amen? Amen. Amen.